Welcome to These Are Good Days with Lee Ann Miller
and Matt Barris.
Well, Matt, unbeknownst to our listening community, last week, while we were doing our podcast with Emily, which was wonderful, by
so
the way,
good.
So good. I couldn't say it during because we were talking about something serious.
It was very serious.
So it couldn't have, I couldn't interrupt, but I looked above Emily's head. And there was a mouse running across a pipe.
There was.
You had been gone. And
I know.
So they decided they were going to have a little, you know, vacation in your
in
house.
In our house, yeah.
And then the next morning, I got a picture of a mouse in a mousetrap.
That's right.
You took care of it. But let me just tell you, I looked up and I saw that mouse running across that pipe. And I was like, eyes wide open.
I know.
And the mouse kind of got unbalanced, like it was going to
like
fall
a
off
cartoon.
The pipe. Yeah, like it was like, going to fall off the pipe. And then it turned around and ran back the other way. And I was freaking out. I thought, if that mouse falls on Emily.
Like in her hair. Yeah. That would have been so funny. But you held it together. You held it together.
I did. I didn't say one word, but my face, Emily thought, I don't. Emily said later, she was like, don't look behind you. Don't look behind you. She said, because I knew,
she knew
something
was behind her.
Yeah.
Well, you know, that happens around here. We get yeah. little rascals.
Well, yeah, everybody
around
does.
The end of summer, you know, and especially when we're gone. Mm-hmm. We were gone for a while this summer.
They're like, nobody here.
Yeah,
I'm going to get in the
party.
I'm going to get in the
stuff.
I'm going to get in the cupboards.
So, yeah. Hey, well, tell me your good day.
You go first.
Okay. My good day is, listen, we are trying to squeeze every last drop out of summer.
Yes.
And recently we went to our friend Kat, her house in Cleveland. Kat, we love you.
Oh,
Kat,
she's so fun.
She's one of our friends in our counselor cluster.
Yeah, she's fun.
Yeah.
She's wise.
Yes.
And she is very, very funny.
She's basically a triple threat. She's a triple threat. Here's the thing.
She can really make me laugh.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, we went to Kat. So Kat lives in a really cool apartment in Cleveland. Her apartment is actually, did you know this? It was the children's section of a library in that neighborhood.
Well, no wonder
library.
It's so magical at her place.
I know. And she lives, first of all, her home is so fun. It has views of Lake Erie.
Yes.
It has a lot of windows.
Yes.
It has plants. And our kids were like... It was like they went into a movie. They were like, what is this?
They felt like they were in an episode of like Friends.
I mean, Kat, in all fairness and objectively speaking, Kat is like the eccentric single aunt that's so fun. Like, she's just like the wise sage.
But it's eccentric in a good way. Sometimes when I think of eccentric, it's like a little like... Cuckoo
oh, no,
for
no, no,
Cocoa Puffs.
I mean it in like, there's plants
way.
Everywhere. There's art everywhere.
Yeah. Yes.
There's books everywhere.
Listen, Kat will entertain you even in conversation.
Right. Yes.
It's just so great.
So
yeah.
we went and our kids had, first of all, never been to her house. And she said, well, why don't you guys sleep over? So we did a family sleepover at Kat's house. And you know what's so cool? We live in the rural, but we live in a neighborhood.
Live in a suburban, in a little subdivision kind of
in a
residential.
Rural, yeah.
Yeah.
Where Kat lives, it is like what you think of when you go to a city. You know, Friday night we got there. We walked to dinner. We walked to ice cream. There's an arcade. Vintage pinball arcade near her house.
Everybody's childhood dream.
We went there and we walked the city and my Fitz was like, Dad, this is basically like New York City, right? And I was like, well, for him it was. You know, it was so fun and so cool. And so that was awesome.
Yes.
We are squeezing the juice out of summer.
Listen, another thing. She lives right down the street from Cleveland Bagel. Cleveland Bagel, if you are listening, Cleveland Bagel Company, they have the most incredible bagels and the bagel cream cheese smears. Oh, they're just delicious.
Schmear it.
Schmear it. that those bagels, if Kat ever calls and she says, hey, I'm coming down, do you want me to bring anything? Same. I'm like, the only thing I ever want you to bring is bagels. That's right,
bring bagels.
Bring those Cleveland bagels.
Bring bagels or don't come at all.
You know? Okay, my good
what
day.
What a girl. What a
my
girl.
My good day was a surprise with you all. So I'm just sitting around in my PJs on Sunday morning, one Sunday morning, and y'all called up, or you called and said, hey, we're going to Boyert's. Boyert's, if you are listening.
Right?
What a place.
What a place.
Boyert's Greenhouse.
What a place.
What a place. What a place. What was that we were going to say?
What a guy.
What a guy. What a place. What a thing. What a place. Boyert's is in Medina, right?
Yeah.
Or near Medina. Yep. And they are family owned and operated greenhouse. And y'all called and said, we're going to go there after church. Do you want to come along? And we're going to get smoothies at Pulp. Mm-hmm. Well, Pulp, if you're listening, I've never been to Pulp.
So good.
I got Luca's favorite. It was delicious. It had banana and chocolate and peanut butter and flaxseed and protein.
Yeah.
It was so yummy. And we just had so much fun. We went up to the greenhouse. It was just such a little last minute thing.
I know.
You know, listen, the thing about this podcast is times like that.
That's right.
It doesn't have to be, I mean, Disney World's great, but it doesn't have to be that. It can just
That's
be,
right.
Do you want to run to the greenhouse?
I know, it was
and
great.
And get a smoothie.
It was great.
You know, and I just want to encourage everybody, if you haven't done anything like that with a friend lately, call them up and be like, hey, let's get some coffee downtown and walk over to the antique store.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. So good.
So good.
So good.
It was so fun.
So what a place. You know, what a place.
What a place. What a thing.
Day.
What a guy.
What a day. So this is our segment where we, you have to read it because I never remember it.
Oh, yes.
We're going into one
segment.
Of our segments. And she always has to pull it up because it doesn't roll off the tongue
for
me.
Yeah, it doesn't. It doesn't.
But you're good at it.
Okay, this segment is called Something Random I Need to Share That Might Not Make a Difference to You at All.
That's right. Well, here's mine. On the heels of your good day, my wife has started a relationship that I'm a little bit uncomfortable with.
Okay. Tell me.
She is in love with the houseplants. I don't know if this is a her thing or if this is happening across the nation or if other men are like, the houseplants are invading, but houseplants have invaded our home.
Yeah.
We went from zero to 60.
Listen, she was trying to decide, or you were trying to help her decide what time she needed to wake up in the morning so she could talk to all her houseplants.
Yeah. She's gotten in this rhythm this summer of like, she'll make herself a cup of frothy coffee because she loves the froth and she'll walk around with a mug and I can just picture her with her mug in two hands pushing the mug into like the
her bosom
her ribs up by her chest
between the cleavage
higher where she's like hello plants
yes
hello how are you
hello
oh girl you look good here
yes,
you love,
love
this
that.
Spot
I love talking
she talks to
my plants.
All of them
I do too
and you know it's a lot I asked her if she remembered our names or if she like if she remembers how to care for humans because she's learning oh bless you
no thank you
she's learning so much about plants but here's what I've learned that maybe you don't know
okay
I actually did think of something that I learned so do you know the plants pothos or pathos
yes I do yes
so it's like a viney bushy thing
love
them often when people have them the vines are dangling over
yes they're vining
did you know that those will actually be healthier and happier and grow faster if you put a little trellis in your pothos and let them climb up.
No, I did not know this.
I learned that.
Yeah.
Also,
well, there it is.
Mallory's been like, we stopped having babies because one of us may have gotten a vasectomy.
Okay.
But it's not confirmed.
No,
it's just hypothetical.
Not confirmed is out there though.
One of us may have gotten the snip snip and now she's making plant babies.
Yes.
And you know, I'd rather at this
season
of life, I'd rather have plant babies propagating and brewing than a real one.
Well, yes. Do you know there's something called a propagation station?
Well, we have two. we have a five hopper one and a three hopper one for me to take to work. So I'm going to be making plant babies at work.
There it is.
So there it is.
Listen, if you work with Matt, you can stop by his office and visit his propagation station.
And if you work with me or you're in my community and you do happen to pop into my place of employment,
bring him a start.
No, well, I might just pop one out and say, do you want to pop those? Because if you want to get started, I will help you.
Yeah, he'll help you with the new plant addiction.
Okay, what's your something random that we should know, but you don't really need to?
Well, Matt, there's a brand of shoe out there called Vionics.
Yes.
Okay. And Vionics typically are like orthopedic shoes. You know, they have this like orthopedic sole.
Like if you're 57.
Yes. They're, it's an orthopedic sole made by foot doctors, designed by foot doctors.
Yes.
But what you might not know that you know, this is random, but you may need to know it.
I might have to someday.
You might need to know it for your mom. Is they make slippers.
Okay.
With that same sole.
Okay.
And I just happened.
That's what you wore to my
to
house?
To go out the door with my Vionic slippers on.
I thought they were just thongs.
Which is unfortunate. Thongs, like flip-flops?
Yeah.
Yeah. Thongs are something else, Matt.
Well.
No. So these are like Vionic flip-flops. They're terry cloth. Okay. And they're very, very comfortable. But the sole of them, I can wear them all day in my house on the hardwood floor. Or I could wear them on concrete even.
Listen,
and my feet won't hurt at the end of the day.
Listen, our friend Kat, when she gets home, you know what she does?
What's she do?
She changes her shoes just like Mr. Rogers did.
For real.
There's house shoes.
That's
because
it.
Listen, when you get to be a person of a certain age, you might need some support all day on those little dogs.
And listen, let's also talk about this. Like, you don't have to agree with me, but just hear me out. Don't wear your shoes inside your house. Your shoes have been all over parking lots. They've been all over hallways. They've walked over dry spit, dry poop, dry tobacco juice. Don't wear them all over your house. Take them off and put on slippers, put on socks, or put on your house shoes. But don't tramps all over your house with your actual shoes on. Don't do it.
I support this.
Yes. Just think about it.
Keep your crusty shoes outside.
Yes, research it if you need to. But don't walk around in your house with your shoes. That's my two cents.
I support that 100%.
Don't do it.
Hey,
you'll keep your floors cleaner that way.
That's right. It's true. Hey, it is back to school time
of year. This is our back to school episode.
That's right. And we're thinking about all those people, including myself, sending our babies back to school.
Yes, and listen, you don't have to be a parent.
No.
You can be an aunt or uncle.
That's right.
You can be an aunt with nieces and nephews that have entered back into this. Listen, let me tell you something right now.
Right.
If you are not a parent and you are an aunt or an uncle of kids starting back to school, something so nice that you could do for your family is either text your family member who's the parent and say, hey, could I bring Chinese for your family tonight?
Yes.
Hey, could I order pizza for your family tonight?
Love it.
Because let me tell you, the first week or two of school is hard on everybody.
It's hard. Do you remember when you were a kid? Did you have like, it was like 50 years ago when you were going probably into first grade?
Mm-hmm.
Was like school shopping a thing and getting clothes for
school? Yes.
Getting ready. Do you remember
school
that
supplies,
excitement?
Yes.
Did you ever get like anxious or like worried?
Oh yeah.
When I was starting in middle school,
for sure.
I would have a hard time sleeping before school start because I would think about like, where am I going to go? Who am I going to sit with? What am I going to do? And it was hard for me.
Well, I think junior high and high school are definitely transitions that are really difficult because you're very aware of your social surroundings.
Totally.
And aware of other kids and aware that the pool is going to be larger and the bullies are going to be stronger.
Sure.
You know, making new friends is going to be, you know, a thing.
Mm-hmm.
So junior high and high school can be really, really tough for kids.
Yeah, that's right. Well, I think sometimes when we approach the school year, there's often like a mix of excitement and anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
And I was, you know, I did some research before this episode and I was researching what are things that maybe parents would be anxious about. When you sent your kids to school, was there anything you were anxious for them about?
1,000%.
Like, what was on your mind when you were sending your kids to school?
Well, a couple things. The first one, our oldest son is very scholastic.
Yeah.
And he leans on the nerdy side.
Sure.
So, and he's our firstborn.
Some might call him eccentric.
Well, some
in his
might,
own right.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so, And he and coincidentally, he and Kat are the same on the Enneagram. Oh, they're both
and they're five. Both some of the smartest people I know.
So there was, and because he's our firstborn, there was this part of me that was worried about how other kids would treat him.
Sure.
Because he is very, well, I mean, he's my kid that the kindergarten teacher called me and said, I need you to have a discussion with Teddy because his kids are going home crying because he's telling them that Santa Claus is indeed not real.
Teddy Miller.
Yeah. Oh, yes. It became a thing. Like, he was doing dissertations
and
basically telling them why he wasn't real, that their parents were not being accurate.
Teddy Miller.
It was a thing. And so, you know, there was part of me that's like, there's that part of him that kids might make fun of or give him a hard time about. It was fine. He was fine. Yeah. And same with Joey. Joey's got a soft heart. You know this about him because you knew him back then. And I was concerned that he would, that soft sweetness about him would get, you know, damaged or hurt 100%. Or bullied. So I think probably for me, the biggest thing was the social part. Mm-hmm. I knew they would be okay with homework and learning. I was more concerned about the social part and the bullying. I just was. I mean,
yeah, that's a big one. That's a big one for a lot of parents. You know, I feel like that with my own kids. Actually, when I think about it, my boys are very similar to your boys. Mm-hmm, my oldest is very scholastic, can be more in his head. Mm-hmm. My middle boy, Fitz, is much more sensitive and more social, more relational. Mm-hmm. And then Remy, we better watch out for that one. She's gonna set everybody straight. But you know, I think I have fears for my kids like that too. Mm-hmm. And I think I even have fears in regards to adults that they're gonna interact with. And I work with the school.
Yeah.
You know, I'm like, well, safety, I want people to see, you know, and I want people, I think one of my biggest fears, it's not that I fear with school personnel. It's not that I'm worried something bad's gonna happen. It's that I want my kids to be seen for who they are and loved for who they are and appreciated for who they are. Because my kids are the kind of kids, they're not going to know the principal because they're bad. And they're also not looking for the spotlight. Right, and so they're kind of, I just want them to be seen is my
That's
big
good.
Thing.
Yeah. Another thing is safety these days.
Sure.
Like, you know, we hear more of violence in schools than we ever have before.
That's
right. And we tell ourselves we are a rural community. We are a rural
That's
area.
Right.
Certainly won't happen here, but it has happened in areas like ours.
Right.
So I think that's probably another thing that I didn't think about as much as maybe parents in this day and age would think about.
Absolutely. That's a very, very real fear. And I think that what I would encourage in parents as school personnel is, talk to your, first of all, statistically, it is unlikely that you would have a large event happening at your school. However, it can happen.
Right.
And if you do have concerns, your school, at least in the state of Ohio, has to have a safety plan put in place that we turn into the state every year.
That's great.
And so we plan for things like that and we know what we would do. And so, you know, those are valid things to ask your school personnel. I think there's part of a fear of just letting go. You know, it's so funny. I was literally just today. I said to Mallory, I've been back at work for a couple weeks. I'm not ready for my kids to go back. Mm-hmm. Like it just changes the letting go of them not being in our home as much. Mm-hmm. Just getting back on the schedule.
It's hard.
I know. I love our lazy routines and our lazy summers when we're doing fun stuff. Mm-hmm. It's so great. And I think there's actually just a fear of the unknown.
Right.
You know, there's like, well, what happens if this? And, you know, you don't know how maybe the teacher's rules or you don't, you know. And I think there's just a lot of fears that come about it. But I have some solutions for us.
Oh, okay.
Before I get into some of my thoughts, what are some things you did with your kids to either prepare them for the school year or maybe rhythms and rituals that you did at home?
Okay.
Or, you know, maybe on your drive. I know you were a big drop the kids off at school mom.
Yes, I was.
What were some of those things that you did?
First of all, I'm going to tell you I was a terrible, terrible parent at the paperwork. I just hated the paperwork. I guess now you can do it all online.
You can do it all online now.
I mean, where was that when my kids were in school? Yeah. All those forms.
Like the first day of school, they come home with a packet.
Yeah, I did. That I was not good at. I can't give any tips there. You can, but I can't. I was the mom they were calling.
Yeah, yeah.
But what I will say is with the pickup and drop off, I look back now and I would not trade that 10 minutes to school and that 10 minutes on the way home for anything in the world.
Yeah.
I would get the lines in, you know, the little lines like make wise choices, they bring good consequences.
Yeah.
And, you know, be kind, be aware, you know.
That's right.
Love people, stick up for the underdog. Like I all of those things I would say on the way to school. And then when I would pick them up, this was tradition really. When I would pick them up, I almost always, the boys will attest to this, probably 95% of the time, I had food.
Yeah.
I had a snack. I had a little sandwich.
Those little buggers come home hangry sometimes.
Kids are so hungry with this new routine.
Yeah, it's true.
It just takes a lot out of them. So if your kids ride the bus, maybe put something extra in their lunch for them to enjoy if the bus driver allows them, the bus driver allows them to have food. But when they get home, and I was just messaging our friend Ashley from the Haircut Box. Haircut Box, if you are listening. Actually, Daryl got a Haircut Box, and he's so impressed. We need to talk about that later.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Ashley from the Haircut Box has a great, great product. And she's just the Haircut Box on Instagram if you want to look her up. But we were messaging about this, and she was saying, I'm just bad at snacks. I'm bad at this. But she made a snack tray for when her kids got home, and they all hovered around it and all talked about their day.
Yeah.
And here's what I'll tell you.
Good.
Whether it is snacks right after school or supper around the table. And let me tell you, supper around the table doesn't have to be anything fancy.
That's right.
But if you have that intentional time, your kids will be more likely to tell you about what's going on with their day. So I tried to set scenes with our children that cultivated communication.
Yeah.
Now, the first week or two, they're exhausted, man.
My kids have fallen asleep on the way home.
Yeah, they're exhausted. Yeah. So let them just be exhausted. You know, sometimes what I would do is I would encourage the boys to take their showers early. Like, take your shower at 5 right before supper, or take your shower early so that you can just veg on the couch.
Right.
Don't, my advice also is really try not to require too much of your kids that first 2 weeks. It's just hard.
Yeah, I support that. My family was a big snack family too. And, you know, I think it's changing. This is a whole different podcast. But I remember sitting at like our counter in the kitchen and doing homework right when I got home, because my parents were like, if you have something to do, get it done while your brain's turned on and you're eating a snack. And then turn off for the rest of the day. But that was part of our thing. And, you know, this is really where High-Low Buffalo comes into play for us, is when we're sitting around the table at night for our kids to reflect on their moments. You know, I have my kids are all very different, and especially the boys. They're at the age where you're starting to see this kind of stuff. But our kids, when they want to talk, it's like we stop everything and we need to listen. Our Fitz, our middle child, he is the nighttime bed talker. Like as soon as he's in his pajamas, he will come into our room sometime, or if I'm in his room, he'll want to just chit chat the night away. Our son, Luca, our oldest, you have to catch him at the right time. Like he's not as consistent, and Remy, we're not sure yet, but whenever those moments are for your kids, make space, because they will tell you more than maybe what you would expect if you just make space to listen.
You know, and that doesn't change as they get older. So our sons are 30 and 25, and I make time for whenever they, because both of them have moments where they're very, very talkative. You remember from living with
us. I love it.
And when they are talkative, they want to debrief it all. And I will be like texting somebody, hey, I am going to be a half an hour late because.
I mean, you've done it to me before where you're like in the middle of a phone call with one of my boys. Sorry.
Yep. And, or if somebody even calls, can't answer now, I'm in the, because when they're in that mood, I want to I want to hear it all.
That's right.
I want to be there. Yeah.
You know, our Fitz, this is a funny story about Fitz. When Fitz went to school, this happened in first grade and in second grade. He somehow, the school counselor caught wind that he said, "I don't feel safe at school." And that triggers someone to look into that further. And so she, you know, asked our permission. Can I talk to Fitz? Yes. Blah, blah, blah. So she spent time with Fitz, and she loves Fitz. She knows our family. She plays baseball with our family.
Tell me about.
She's like, "Fitz, so tell me about not feeling safe at school." And he's like, "Well, like, my parents aren't here, and like, I always feel safe with my parents, but like, they're not here." And I'm like, "I literally work in the building." He's like, "But like, I just prefer to be with my parents like all the time." So something that she told us that was probably a very helpful thing for him was we printed off pictures from our phone. We just sent them over to CVS, and he had a little folder that he took to and from school, and we just slid those pictures down in the pocket of his folder.
That's great.
And it helped him to just have reminders, like a little token of our family. Similar, Remy had struggled with going to the babysitter last year. And Mallory got her a necklace to wear to remind her of our family. And she put a little picture, like a little locket. It was nothing fancy. It was like from Amazon. If it broke, it was okay. But it helped her. And, you know, I think there are some of these tips and tricks that parents have shared along the way. So I researched some of those. So I want to share some with you, too. The first one is, as you're preparing for school, get your kids involved in picking school supplies. You know, we do this thing every year where we typically go to Wadsworth Target. If you're listening.
Yeah, Target. Come on.
They have everything that we need, and we spend an afternoon
that's fun.
Picking all the stuff.
Yeah, I loved
it's like a scavenger hunt, really.
Yeah, I love that.
Looking for all the stuff, listen, and we go out to lunch.
When I did do well with that eventually. It took a couple years. It took a couple years to learn.
Oh, I feel like you would be good at that.
No, it took a couple years to learn to get out there when they put the school supplies out.
Oh, yeah.
Like, get out there early.
There were some things we didn't get this year.
Yeah, go 2-3 weeks early. I did learn that. I eventually learned that, thank God. And then we would go. It wouldn't be crazy. It wouldn't be busy. Things wouldn't be wiped out.
Yeah.
Because nobody was going that early.
Yeah. You know what I've seen on social media this year? I don't know. We haven't talked about this. Is people complaining about teachers' lists. Have you seen that? Videos? But then there's like rebuttal videos. My favorite is this lovely, you would be friends with this woman. I don't know her name, but our friend Maggie shared it with us. And it was a woman walking through Walmart, and she's like, just buy the supplies. Just buy them. These people hang out with your children every day. Just buy the supplies.
Wait, what do you mean? Like people, who's complaining? Like
people on social media are saying teachers are asking for so much over the top supplies. There's rebuttals where people are like,
"This is nothing new. Stop it."
Yeah, just this isn't come new. On.
But create your own Amazon list out there. Like it is. This is nothing new.
Yeah, that's right. Here's the other one: is what if we had a last hurrah summer day? So what if on your calendar you said, "Hey, the last weekend before school starts, we're going to plan X, Y, and Z. What are some of your favorite things that you love to do?" And I think that kind of helps with transition where they know it helps kids' brains know what's coming up, that they're like, "Okay, school's coming up and we're having like a last moment to almost say goodbye to the fun parts of summer and say hello to school."
Yeah.
Here's another one is the routines. Get in the routines. Mm-hmm. You know, Mallory just said our oldest is going on a newer middle school schedule that's earlier than the elementary school. And so she's like, "Hey, we need to get some new routines." So they've been talking through like, when are we taking showers? What are we doing? Are we packing a lunch the night before?
So will he ride with he'll ride with one of you and then
he'll ride with her because she teaches at the middle school and I'll take the littles with me because I work at the elementary school. I think too, having your morning routine down. So we went through phases where we had like a checklist or a chore chart for our kids, like brush your teeth, do your hair, blah, blah, blah. That just helps your kids get in good rhythms and routines. Here's another one. Visit the school. If your school offers, like for
that
us.
That really helped in junior high.
Yeah, for us, we're doing like tours of our school before school starts. Yeah. We're doing new student orientation. And I think it really does help kids kind of get their bearings so they're not trying to find physical spaces because their minds are going to be in different places.
Right.
the first day of school. Here's the last one. Is some of the things that maybe you anticipate or experiences that your kids are having, maybe role play them out. Like, okay, so if you have to go to the bathroom, what are you going to do?
Yes. Well, here's my question. What do you say to the parent whose child has a tough time making friends and is very anxious about the social part of school? They're anxious about like a new classroom, a new teacher, new people. I don't feel, or even kids that are coming home from school after a week or two, like crying, I don't have any friends.
Sure, sure. I think the first thing is if your kid, if you feel like...
Now listen, you're speaking into this knowing, right? Because you work in education. Oh, yeah, yeah. This isn't just like, this is what I think. This is you speaking into the field you're in and knowing. I just want to preface that. I mean, me saying it is different than you saying it. This is
maybe
your field.
A little bit.
Well, yeah, no, this is your field. And you know this area of expertise is yours. So well, I want to know what you tell that parent.
When our counselors, they do screeners for ways that they can support kids. One of the questions that we often have on that screener is who are three adults that you know in the building and who are three kids that you know in the building? Mm. And I think if you're a parent and your kid's coming home and saying, oh, I don't know anybody, I'm feeling alone, have them start naming kids.
Okay.
Start naming who are teachers you know. You know your teacher from last year. Before you go into your class, go and say hi to your teacher from last year.
That's a great idea.
Or
that's a great idea. You know, or the the school secretary.
Yeah, the principal.
The school secretary is always so great.
They are great. So help your kids identify who their friends actually are and who are safe adults at the school for them, and have them name those kids. If that doesn't get you anywhere, here's what I would do. This is perfect, perfect, like role play for your kids to learn how to make a friend. Mm-hmm. So my next move would be, hey, what do you like when you're around kids? How do you like someone to ask you to play? What do you like them to say? And they'll say, well, when someone comes up and says, I'm playing kickball, do you want to play with me? You say, well, why don't you do that with someone? Have them start role playing some of those things out.
Yeah.
Because I think when we give kids a script or we give them the words, I think it really does help them calm their anxieties or fears.
Mm-hmm. Or so, let them, or it helps them see that it doesn't have to be the way they're feeling right now.
Right. Yeah. Or say, hey, how do you sit at lunch? Some schools you just file in, but some schools let kids pick. Mm-hmm. Well, find somebody new to sit with and ask them questions. Like, what do they like?
Or walk up and say, do you want to sit with me?
Yeah.
Or if you see somebody sitting, we used to always say to our boys, if you see somebody sitting alone,
right,
go sit with that person and say, hey, is anybody sitting here?
And I think if you've exhausted those two things, you could get adults involved. Mm-hmm. That's why we have school counselors, are great people to facilitate. Mm-hmm. I know we have two awesome school counselors. They do things called lunch bunches where they'll pull kids from the same grade, some kids that might need friends and some kids that they've noticed are really good at making friends, and they'll pull them and they'll eat lunch with them. Or talk to the teacher and just say, hey, they're struggling. Could you maybe put them by someone you think they would be friends with? Or if you know kids in the class and you know some of their parents, you know, we live in a small town, so a lot of people know each other. Maybe there's someone that your kid has talked about in the previous years that you're like, oh, I kind of want to facilitate this friendship. Mm-hmm. You know, I've talked about this before, but our friend Meredith Alexander is an awesome third grade teacher at our school, but her son is friends with my son. And what she has said is, she's like, I want this group of boys that our boys are in. There's like six boys that are all friends. She's like, I want them to be each other's friends. Like, I trust these kids. I love these kids. I think they're going to be great. And over the summer, she did like three things just to keep them, just a touch point.
Keep them connected.
Like, they went swimming one day. They went to like a trampoline park. And she already texted the moms, kind of do the planning. She texted Mallory the other day and said, hey, we're going to do a tailgating before one of the football games on this night, you know, this fall. And the boys can go to the football game together. So I think also being intentional about facilitating friendships really important.
I always volunteered at those parties, those daggum parties.
That's the other thing is get involved.
I always did.
If you're, the other thing is if your kid's having a hard time at school, this could go one of two ways. It could be great for you to be there at school and like know what's going on. It might be harder on your kid, so that depends on the kid. But you could get involved at the school and know what's going on at the school, get to know some of the kids in your kid's class. Teachers would rarely say no to a parent coming in and say, I'll read with kids in the hallway. Like, they'll always use the help. So if you have
that's good.
The ability and the time in your day, you know, not a lot of people are working these days, but if you have the privilege of being able to go to your kid's school, that's a great way to get to know the school and get involved. So I think those are all great things. Yeah.
Listen, shout out to all the parents that are doing all the things, getting their kids back into routines and back into school.
You know what our pastor said?
What did he say?
He said the Sunday before school started in our era, he was like, I know these are tender times.
Oh, yeah.
Because they are.
Yeah.
You know, they are so tender times when you're letting your little ones go away. Yeah.
Or you might be sending a child off to college hard. Yeah. That's real
That's
hard.
Right. That's, yeah. Ooh, we're not even there yet.
Yep. They're not there yet. You're a ways away.
We're
from
a ways
that.
Away. Yeah. But speaking of school starting, you know what we started talking about this week? We're going to have to start packing those lunches.
Oh, yeah.
And you know where we would go to stock up on your snacks?
Let's talk about food.
Ooh, that was extra. Listen, Walnut Creek Cheese and Market in Walnut Creek, if you were local, it's a great place for you to stock up. Now, listen, if you're not local and you're like, you just pulled your cord out.
I pulled my cord out of my headphones.
If you're not local and it's like within a drive, it's worth the drive. Stock up your pantry with all the snacks, all the things you need to pack great lunches or have snacks on the table for your kids. You know, for us, a great snack is the like pretzels. They have like good pretzels and bulk stuff like that.
Yes.
It's so good.
Well, listen, any of the deli stuff, you know, any of the deli meat, the deli cheeses, they're all so good.
I know, we're making lunches. So we got to stock up.
Stock up. So, listen, also, they have I'm not saying you have to put candy in your kids' lunches, but their bulk candy for any of
Did you put candy in your kids' lunches?
No, I did not.
No.
But
I did have a candy bowl
at our house, remember? And that was a very big hit with all the kids after school and with our kids. Mm-hmm. Actually, people would say, like, how in the world do you have that candy bowl out all the time? I said, well, they're just so used to it that it's not.
It loses the appeal after a while.
We would have kids come in the door and they'd be like shoving candy in their mouths because it wasn't available.
I forgot about that. You know, the candy bowl, you know what I always went for in your candy bowl?
The malted milk bowls?
No.
Oh.
What? What? Like the chocolate covered chalk? Absolutely not. That is revolting.
The little mini Reese cups.
That's it. Mini Reese cups. I am actually offended that you think I'm a malt person.
Oh, I love those big malt and milk bowls from Walnut Creek Cheese and Market. They're so good.
I mean, if you have to eat them, get them from there. But like, I don't think anyone has.
Also, they have really, really great fresh, soft peach rings.
I love a good peach ring.
I love a good peach ring.
Hey, well, we are so thankful for Walnut Creek Cheese and Market. And listen, as you're getting ready for the school year, if you need to swing by Walnut Creek Cheese and Market in Walnut Creek or their other location in Berlin, they're two great places to stock up. Also, don't forget, there are two other ways that you can get their products in your hands. The first one is on their website, you can find the locator of stores near you that carry some of their products. Yes. So all you have to do, put your zip code in and it'll say, down at, you know, our friend Disney Danielle, down the road from her, there's a little market and they carry Walnut Creek cheese and foods in that market. Or if you're like really savvy with the shipping, they will ship certain products to your door. So you can order them online. Yes. Sorry, am I boring you?
No, sorry. I just had a little yawn escape.
And so there are so many, there's different avenues where you can get your hands on shipping, some of these products. Sure. Mm-hmm. And all of those links every week are in our show notes. So
show notes.
If you're wondering, look in the show notes. Hey, thanks so much for joining us in this conversation all about back to school. I hope that some of our tips and tricks and maybe ways that we talked about this can help your kids have an awesome beginning to their school year. Whether ordinary or extraordinary, we hope you see that these are good days.
This episode brought to you by Walnut Creek Foods.